Good morning. Thank you for joining with us again today. I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness and your giving. And just want to remind you, you can give online at ncalife.org, or you can mail your offerings in to the church and to the address. We just thank you for your faithfulness. Also, a couple of things I want you to be aware of. Our annual business meeting for our members will be held June the 14th at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary. We'll be observing social distancing, but we need to have our business meeting. And there'll also be a more information going out to you regarding deacon candidates and that kind of information. But looking forward to our annual business meeting, June 14th at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary. But also, I think what's exciting is June 14th, in that morning, we are having our in-person service. Now, let me go ahead and let you know that online, we will continue our ministry at 10 a.m. Their message will be online for those who need to be at home. But we're going to have our in-person services at 9 o'clock and 10:30, both services. And so we're inviting you to come, social distancing. As you saw in the video, we've kind of set things up. But some things I really want to speak to you for just a moment about. One is, you need to make the best decision for you and your family to whether you should be in the in-person service or not. And I would just want to say, if you're feeling sick or not feeling well, please stay at home and take care of yourself. For those who need to make that decision of saying whether I should come or not, I have to leave it to you to make the best decision. But here's some of the things I am asking for. I'm strongly, highly recommending, please wear a mask. When you arrive and you're coming into the building, wear a mask, and so that if it's not just for you, maybe it's for others. Be considerate of others and wear the mask. Then when you get in your pew, you can slip off your mask and worship with us. I'm excited about that. And I would also just say, listen, fellowship, if you could keep all the fellowship at this time outside of the building, in the parking lot, in the outdoors. Once we're in here, we may have a wave and a welcome, but we just want to make sure that we're keeping everyone safe. So we're excited about it. So 9 and 10:30, June 14th, next Sunday. If all possible, we invite you to join us. Amen. Well, here we are starting a new series. Today, a brand new series called Friendship. And I know that if you'll listen over these weeks and take heart to the Word of God, what it says about having people, having friendships in our life, having the right friends in our life, you will be changed. Now, there's several reasons I'm doing this series, and why I'm addressing this topic at this time. One is this: we're still dealing, of course, with the COVID-19 pandemic. It's disrupted our personal lives, our friendships, and our whole society. And as we get ready to re-engage one another, I want us to understand the power of good friendships. Many, of course, know exactly what I'm talking about because you've had your friends work hard to connect with you during this stay-at-home time. On the other hand, some of you wish you had more friends, and I get that. As we re-engage each other, I want us to be cautious, though. I want us to consider one another. Some are, of course, ready to hug and shake hands, while others are still being cautious because it's still possible to get the coronavirus. So just know that your friends may or may not be ready to have a real close relationship. And though some people may stay home for a little bit longer, it's not because they've abandoned the church or abandoned you. They're just doing what they feel like they need to do. So take no offense in regards to what others and their feelings and what they need or how they respond during this time. Just be considerate of others and how they feel. So my point really is this. This will be a time for us to renew and to reacquaint ourselves with our friends, and to do so in the right way. A second reason I feel this series is important because of all the unrest that's going on in our nation. Obviously, what happened to George Floyd was wrong, and justice needs to be done to deal with those in the wrong. Church, there is so much going on in our nation and in our world that is not right. But we, the church, the people of God, we need to understand God loves every soul. God loves every person in the world. In fact, let me read to you what heaven is supposed to look like. John says in Revelation 7, verse 9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Church, this is what God desires. No matter the race or the place that people come from, we are called to love all people and to be a people of peace. In Ephesians 2, verse 14, Paul tells us this: for he himself is our peace. Of course, this is speaking of Jesus, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. In that day, as Paul was writing, there was hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. And throughout history, there have been groups and individuals who have held aggressive and intimidating positions over other people. But Paul reminds us that Jesus, the peacemaker, is able to tear down the walls of racism and discrimination that mankind has put up, and he is able to bring the two together. And I pray that would happen in our day. We, the people of God, work toward peace and to live a life of love and continue to pray for a healing to happen in our land. So that is the other reason that we need to understand that friendship and the power of really being a friend is important. In fact, let me just take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our nation. Lord, for all the unrest that's happening, I just pray that you would minister through your church. And Lord, that you would help us to stand up and be what you have called us to be. And Lord, help us to be people to bring reconciliation. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, I want to talk to you about the right foundation for friendship. Next week, I want to talk to you about a friend that can change your life. On the third week of this series, I want to talk about the community of friendship. And the last week, it's going to be a challenging message because we need to be careful who we allow to influence our lives. Listen, we can be a friend to everybody, but we need to be careful who has influence in our lives. A key thought that we have to understand is this: if we can get our friendships right, then we can live a joyful and a peaceful life. But there's a flip side to that as well. If we get our friendships wrong, it can cause us more pain, and more struggles, and more heartache than we ever want. So let me throw out this statement as we get started today. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You show me the people that you spend most of your time with, and I'll show you the course that your life is taking. Thousands of years ago, Solomon, who of course was full of wisdom, as the Bible tells us, said this in Proverbs 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise, and what do you become? Say it with me. Become wise. Associate with fools, what happens? Get in trouble. So this morning, I pray that God will give you wisdom in your heart and that you would hide His word in your heart so you don't sin, so you can be the friend that God is calling you to be and put the right influences in your life. Church, when you hang out with people who are wiser than you, smarter than you, maybe even better at following Jesus than you are going to become more like them and you'll rise up to that new level of your own living. But if you hang out with those who only party hard in the world and live contrary to God's word, they're going to drag you down to where they are. And I want you to know God has so much more for you. In fact, as I look at my own life, if there's any accomplishments or success in my life, it is directly tied to God using the right people in my life to lead me to have the right attitude, the right mindset, to live with the right actions. On the other side of that, some of the unwise things I have done or the times I've gotten in trouble, I could point you to some negative influencers in my life that led me to do those things. I remember when I was 10 years old, a new kid moved into the neighborhood and my so-called friends gathered around us and somehow influenced me and the new kid to get into a fight. And the fight was about nothing. It was just a fight. But I'm telling you, after that fight, I learned I did not want to fight. And I had to remove myself from those negative influences. I would like each one of you today, as we get started, to get a piece of paper and a writing utensil. I need everybody to participate. So I know some families may need a little more time to get your pen and paper. So I want to give you a moment to do that. You're doing it right now. While you're doing it, let me sing a song for you. Ready? Sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love within. All right, I hope that gave you time to get a pen and paper. Here's what I want you to do with that. I want you to write down and list your closest friends. Now, those who have spouses, do not write your spouse's name down. I know they're your friend, or at least they ought to be, but don't write down your spouse. Now, I'm not talking about your personal family. I'm talking about your friends outside of your family. Do not write down your dog's name. Don't write down some imaginary friend's name. I'm talking about real people that you can count on. Even if it's 2 a.m. in the morning, you can call them. Write down the names of your closest friends, those that you are completely transparent with, those that know everything about you, people that know you intimately. I'm talking about your closest friends. Now, even though I'm not with you, I can imagine some of you having a problem with this. And others, of course, may be writing some names and then erasing one or two. I don't know how many names you've written down, but I hope you have at least one. Now, as you look at that list, I have some questions for you, and here they are. How much do you think you are like them? Or how much are they like you? Are you hanging with the right people? Do you want to become like those people that are on your list? These type of questions make us evaluate who is speaking or who has influence as a friend in our life. Now, I know that many of you have Facebook friends, but I'll be honest with you, most of those people are more like acquaintances, and maybe not even that. But I do want you to know that those people on Facebook could still have an impact in your life because of what they post and what they say on Facebook. Right now, I happen to have 1,273 friends on my Facebook. But I very seldom go to my Facebook. About twice a week, I glance through the page and respond to a few things, but That's not where I spend the bulk of my time. Because I need and I desire something more than a screen and a statement from a screen. I want a real friend. So let me take you to Proverbs 17, verse 17. Here's what the Word of God tells us about a friend. It says, a friend loves at all times. Say that with me. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. Church, I want you to know that friend can become even more than a friend when you're in a time of need. And he can become a brother to you and be there to help you through your tough times. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if you had maybe 5 or 6 or 7 friends who loved you all the time? They would be there during any adversity you have. I mean, not just for the short season of life, but love you through every season of your life, for your entire life. Those lifelong friends, I want you to know, are hard to come by. Why? Because we move around. We lose contact. In fact, my best friend who stood with me when I got married 30 years ago, actually, I guess 31 years ago, was my best friend in college, Steve Tuzzle. But after I got married, he went back to his life, and I entered married life. And we've only connected a few times since I got married. He's a missionary, he's living in Slovenia, doing a great job, but our lives did not continue to have the close friendship that we had in college. Not every so-called friendship is going to be a lifelong friendship, because there's going to be friends that come into your life for a season. And I believe God gives them to us to help us grow. But we also need friends in our lives that are there for decades, so we can watch each other's families grow up, and we can learn from each other, and we're able to help each other in tough times. These are the people who love you enough, though, to also tell you the truth when you're doing something unwise or foolish. These will be the people who love you enough to kick you in the pants when you need a kick in the pants. They're also, though, there to celebrate life with you in the good times, and also know how to weep with you when things go wrong. What if you had some friends like that that stayed with you for decades? It's a good thing, because that kind of friend loves at all times. But here's the problem. Very few people have close friends. Studies have been done to reveal that people today have less friends than the culture of even 35 years ago. One of the latest studies done shows that the average American only has about 2 close friends. Church, something is desperately wrong with what is going on in America, and probably across the world. So today I want to talk about the friend that we need to be to others, because that's where the foundation of friendship begins. It starts with us being a friend. Proverbs 18:24, the first part says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. There are many things, of course, we could talk to in regards to being a friend and showing yourself friendly, but I just want to narrow it down to the base 2 important things to do to be a friend. And the first is this, and I believe it's timely, because soon we're going to be out and about and not confined to our homes, and we're going to re-engage people. So my first thought is this, and would you say it with me? I will develop my friendships face to face. I know that our society has been inundated with texting, messaging, but we cannot be friends thumb to thumb. We need to be face to face, because presence matters. Think about this. When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't say, hey, here's a book about me, go study. No. What Jesus did by coming to the earth and then showing up, and he said to people, hey, come follow me. me. Matthew 4:19, we read it. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, he was saying, let's do life together. Let's journey together. In fact, we'll have breakfast together. We'll travel from one community to another together. Jesus was saying that the best way I can impart the love of my Father to you is to be with you and to have you with me. So, church, we need to do life face to face to show ourselves friendly. The writer of Hebrews says something that's been true, of course, throughout history, but could have not really been any more prophetic for our time than the moment we're walking through in history, and it's this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. The writer says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Church, if there was ever a time we need to motivate each other to do the right thing, to love and to do good, today is important because I believe that together, you need to understand, we can do something significant in this world, but we need to spur one another on to good works and to acts of love. Now, listen to verse 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Church, there is power in presence. There's power in physical presence. I've learned this throughout the years, especially when someone has passed away in a family. And you can pray with them over the phone, but there's nothing like being there with them physically. I know that over the past few months, this has been tough because there's probably been a few moments you wish you could have had somebody with you. And so now you don't really understand the power of presence. In fact, I cannot wait to worship with you next week, to see you and wave at you. And of course, as time goes on, to hug you or shake your hand. There's something about personal presence that is incredibly powerful. When someone, of course, makes the effort to travel, to be where you are, when you're hurting or you're grieving, that speaks volumes. There's something about it when someone comes to watch your child get an award or play a game or get married. It says, man, your kid is important to me, and that's why I'm here physically. As a pastoral staff, we've, of course, been getting back together little by little. And so I enjoy being with them because they encourage me. They build me up, and I sure hope I do the same for them. So let's not give up the power of meeting together. Let's develop our friendships face to face. Now, say this with me again, and let's put it into action. I will develop my friendships face to face. A second thing is this. I will be open and transparent with my friendships. I don't know if you know this, there's a new phobia that psychologists are telling us about, and it's one of the fastest growing phobias in the world. And that phobia is telephobia or phone phobia. It's the fear of talking on the telephone. Now, you might be laughing at home, but let me ask you something. When your phone rings, how many of you let it go to the voicemail? Why do you do that? So that you can find out who's calling. And the reason, of course, people give for having this telephobia is they can't control the direction of the conversation. Now, when you get a text, you can, of course, respond later and think about what you need to say or want to say. But on the phone, you have to deal with it right away. I wonder if we were together in this room today, how many of you would honestly and openly admit you have telephobia. You let it go to the answer machine somehow. Church, that's where we need to learn to be open and transparent if we're going to grow strong friendships. Let me take you to a verse in James chapter 5 that really hits the issue head on in regard to being open. James 5 verse 16. The Word of God says, confess your sins to, who do you confess your sins to? To each not just to God, but to other people. Let's continue to read and pray for each other. Let's find out what's going to happen when we begin to pray for each other. It says, so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. How different would you be spiritually if you, together with a trusted, godly Christian friend, you could say, listen, I'm struggling with anger. Maybe it's bitterness or something else. Or maybe you're a teenager and you might say, man, I'm just done with life. Whatever it might be for you, what if you were open and shared your struggles with a friend and then got some godly advice and you prayed together and received some encouragement? I wonder how different all of this might be. The scripture tells us that this is the way we ought to live our lives, confessing to one another. And by the way, here again what the writer James writes. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Why would we not want those wonderful results in our life? Listen, you may impress people with your strength, but you connect with people through your weakness. But let me say that again. You may impress people with your strength, but you connect with people through your weakness. It's when we're transparent and open and even vulnerable and say, here's what I'm going through. This is what makes me afraid. Here's the temptation I can't seem to overcome. That's when you begin to connect. We all struggle. We all go through stuff. We all have pain. And sometimes I might not be able to connect with your strength, but I can always connect with your weakness. That's what happens when we get open and transparent. In fact, I've told you this before. I've said it, and I'll say it again, and maybe more honestly than I've ever said it. But when I see a billboard or a commercial that is suggestive and appealing to the male drive, in all honesty, my mind can go back to a high school bully mode. And I have to get hold of that, and I have to make sure to turn my eyes away and get my mind off of that kind of thinking. As a man, I have to deal with temptation just like everybody else. I have to flee even the appearance of evil. And as a pastor, I do not get a get out of temptation free card. All of us need to be honest about that. Church, I am glad that we have ministries, though, where people can find a friend. Ministries like Celebrate Recovery, a place where people can find a friend that they can talk to and share life with and find that godly friend who will pray with them so they can be healed and set free. How does that happen? It happens face to face and in the power of transparency, because people can connect through their weaknesses. Listen. To be the friend you need to be, it takes us living and declaring these two things. Say them again with me. I will develop my friendships face to face, and I will be open and transparent in my friendships. Listen, God never created us to be independent and on our own. In fact, in the Garden of Eden, God looked at Adam and said, it's not good that he be alone. God created us with friendships and relationships. Listen to Proverbs 18:1. It says, unfriendly people care only about themselves. Church, that is not the way we live our lives. We care about the people of the world because God cares about the people of the world. And let me assure you, if you are longing for friendships, I know that God will bring the right people into your life. But it will not happen by accident. It will happen on purpose as you learn to be a friend. And I pray that God will help us be a best friend. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us help to be the best friend we can be. Help us to connect with the right people. Lord, help us to sharpen one another like iron sharpens iron, so we can be more like Jesus. Lord, would you give us a heart to share your love and live out your love and show your love to everyone we encounter. This I pray, this I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, if you've not accepted the grace of God into your life today, I want you to know you're missing out on the greatest friendship you could ever have. Early, I read a scripture from Proverbs 18:24, and it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Hear this one. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus. God sent his only Son into the world to give his life in your place on the cross. Jesus not only died for you, but he rose from the dead for you. And the Bible tells us that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus would be forgiven and transformed. Today, if you'll put your faith in Jesus and make him Lord of your life, you will become what the scriptures call a friend of God. So would you be willing to pray with me today and put your faith in Jesus? Would you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask for your grace. Be Lord of my life. And fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can know you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray that God will continue to bless your life. And remember, as we walk through this series of friendship, I want you to learn to be a best friend. And as you do, I believe you will have a Jesus-filled life.